Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start off by this. Let's just start off with a good foundation. Hebrews chapter 11. Start with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody say faith is a substance. Somebody say faith is evidence. Then turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Flip on over to Ephesians. And look at the sixth chapter. And we'll start off in the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, we have it up here on the screens if you need to read it with us. If you don't have, I'm reading on the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's several good versions. But I encourage you to get the King James, the New King James version, because it takes the these and the thous out. How many know that that thee and thou is not sacred? Let me try that again. How many know thee and thou is not sacred? Some people say, oh, you can only have the King James Bible. It's like, oh my goodness. No, the these and the thous are not sacred. It's just, now, you don't like the King James Version? I love the King James Version. It's a great version. But I do not appreciate the legalism and the silliness that has crept into the church. And there's a lot of good versions. So you should read if you're single, you should be a virgin. And if you're reading your Bible, and I hope you are, you should read a good version that you can read. And we don't speak in Elizabethan English anymore. And so it's harder to read a version that you don't know, that you don't speak in. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor of who? Whose armor is this? It's God's armor. You put it on, but it's God's armor. Why do I need to put it on? That I would be able. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's going to say the same thing again in a minute. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? It's his armor. Let me say it's his armor. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Says the same thing. Withstand in the evil day and having all to stand, stand. There are people, you know them, and they're not standing anymore. They used to be in church. They used to be in the worship team. They used to be givers. They used to care about God. They used to come, but they're not standing anymore. Why? Because, very simple. How many know we need to read the Bible in its simplicity? If you're able to stand, if you have the full armor of God on, what happens if you don't have the full armor of God on? Okay, help me preach this. If I'm able to stand when I have the full armor of God, what happens when I don't have the full armor of God? You're not going to be able to stand. The spiritual realm is real, folks. Yeah, but I whoop Satan. Praise God, you whoop Satan. You whoop Satan with the armor of God on. That's how you whoop Satan. And what's he looking for? He's looking for an opportune time. He, you know what? Jesus whooped him and he left. Not forever. He just left for a little while. What's he doing? He's looking for the opportunity to come back and take advantage of Jesus. And he's the same. He's doing the same thing for with you. He's looking for the opportunity. Man, are you victorious over pornography? Yes, I am, Pastor. Good. Praise the Lord. But don't put the armor down. Amen. Have you been free from drinking for a while? Thank God for that. Or not just pornography, any sexual sin. There are all kinds of sexual sins. All kinds of things that the Bible has told us that kind of sex is improper. See, the world says any sex is proper, right? That's why I would not put my children in the public school right now. Pastor, are you against the public schools? No, I'm not against the public schools. I'm just against a high percentage of what they're teaching in the public schools. Amen? And what do you think your kids are going to learn? You bring them to church twice a week, and you take them to school five times a week. Hello. Come on, somebody here today. But Pastor, I didn't know how Tamara and I were going to do it. But when the Holy Spirit said, do it, we started looking for the ram in the thicket. We didn't say, well, we can't. God says you can do all things through him who strengthens you. So if I'm just saying, think about these parents. We don't listen. How many know that I Love Lucy is not filmed anymore? So we have to move in and recognize we live in a different time. They're not just teaching your kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're very proactive in teaching them ungodliness. And you're going to drop them off 5 days and, you know what, for 6 hours a day. And by the way, they want to take your kids, they want to have fully funding for preschool. How many know that's true? That's what they want. Are you kidding me? And you're going to give them your child for 6 hours every Monday through Friday, and then you're going to maybe come to church every other Sunday and never on a Wednesday, and not bring your kids, and think that there's going to be, or even if you come every Sunday and every Wednesday. And by the way, I'm telling you what, we don't have church Sunday. We have church Sunday and Wednesday. On purpose, as led by the Holy Spirit. So if you're not coming Wednesday, rearrange your schedule. Somebody say, rearrange your schedule. But Pastor, then I would come. Are you telling me you want me to come twice a week? Yes, that's very clear. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And figure it out. Figure out how you do that. Can I tell you why we have Wednesday service? Because the Holy Spirit has showed me that how important it is to have a midweek service. And so don't just blow it off. If you're here, figure it out how you come Sunday and Wednesday. Because you could do it if you want to. Amen. How do I know that? There's all kinds of people that are as busy or more busy than you. And they show up every single Sunday and every single Wednesday. Amen. So just, you know, all I'm trying to do is bless you today. Amen? So figure it out. But you think you are going to have your children, you know, that they're going to care about God and you just keep on dropping them off? Keep on Monday, Tuesday, 6 hours, Tuesday, 6 hours, Wednesday, 6 hours, Thursday, 6 hours, Friday, 6 hours. And then they're going to come to church for an hour and a half on Sunday and an hour and 15 minutes on Wednesday. And you think that's going to, that they're not going to be, I'm telling, the things they're telling your kids right now, they're telling your kids stuff and telling, and then telling their kids, and don't tell your parents. You are part of the problem. Amen. You go to the city council boards and they're going to let you talk for 2 minutes. And they get all excited when, you know what, they tell you, they're all excited to tell you, your time is up. Parents need to tell the school system, your time is up. Amen? Amen. And just so you know, what am I supposed to do? Here, just come on Friday to our homeschool network, and just because, you know, here's the crazy thing. You can do a better job filled with the Holy Spirit. I know, I'm just like, Pastor, I don't even know what I'm doing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. But they've convinced you that they know what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing. You know how I know that for a fact? Because look at the scores of the high schooler. Look at how many fifth graders can't read. Look how many sixth graders can't do simple addition. But we just keep on throwing them over there, and they're not learning. Pastor, what do I do? Come on Friday. We have people that'll help you. And just for you to know, we don't know how to do it perfectly either. But God will bless what you put your hand to. You know that? God will bless what you put your hand to. Are you learning something today? Thank you, my brother. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the what? Above what? Above all, taking the shield of faith. Number one, the belt of truth. You've got to have God's truth. It's got to be, listen, I like what Thessalonians taught us last week. It said, take the helmet as. You're not putting a helmet on. You're actually the as a belt truth. Say, as a belt, truth. So you leave, just like you have a belt on, you have truth on. Right? You don't have a belt that has a buckle that says truth or the word of God. That doesn't help you. You need to go out in your day understanding that God is, whatever he says is right and everyone else is wrong. That's having the belt of truth on. You need to leave your house as a breastplate, what? Righteousness. Who you really are, your heart is the center of who you are. You need to identify with his righteousness, not your righteousness. He has made you righteous. So you walk out now and you have the truth on. You recognize if God said it's true, it's true. But now you have this breastplate on, and you don't have a breastplate on, you have righteousness on. You walk with a boldness to say, you know what, I'll tell you what, you know, I might have done some things wrong yesterday. I might have, you know what, burned the toast, and I might have, you know what, you know, did this wrong, and I might have did that wrong, and I might have made a bunch of mistakes. But here's what I know. I know because of what Christ did, I have a right standing with God. See, that's the breastplate of righteousness. I have right standing. Number three, shoes of peace. I have peace because God is my peace, right? And what we learned, I have peace because of what Jesus Christ did. Oh, he is my peace, and I'm bringing peace because I have these shoes on. So I'm in atmospheres, and I'm bringing the peace of God. People ought to just look at you and just go, relax. It's like, I feel better just being around you. Why? Because you have these shoes on, right? As a helmet, I have this hope. What's my hope? God's going to make me whole. I'm going to be whole. Somebody say, I'm going to be whole. Somebody say, I'm going to be whole. See, sozo is wholeness. And there's a lot of churches, they don't teach wholeness. They teach new birth, that you can get born again and you can go to heaven. But they're not teaching the full gospel. The full gospel is that what Christ did on the cross is good for you. If he took it, you don't have to. Amen. So you're putting that helmet on. You have hope. How many feel jacked up still? How many working through some things? You know what I mean? How many feel like, man, Pastor, how many would raise their hand and say, Pastor, I don't have it together? Okay, some of you telling the truth. Okay, thank you for those of you. You know what I mean? Let me see. Over here. Anybody? Any truth tellers? Anybody? Okay. Well, that's what the helmet's for. Like, hey, you know what? Today's a new day, right? Do I need to sing it for you? Right? I don't know any other words except that part. Today's a new day. Right? But that's a good part. Today is, you know what? I love what Pastor Bradford used to teach us. He'd say this all the time. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. Today's a new day. Amen. But nothing. Put the helmet on. It's the helmet of hope that you can be whole today. Amen. Now, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Whose shoes is it? Come on, this is taking the armor of God. I'll make it easier. Whose shoes are they? God's shoes. Whose breastplate is it? It's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness. Whose breastplate is it? Whose belt is it? It's God, not your truth. No, I think I could have sex this way. No, it's not your truth, it's his truth. Is that not right? I think I could spend my money. I don't think pastors should tell me how to spend my money. I ain't telling you nothing. You do whatever you want to do. But God has some guidelines for you about who to have sex with and who not to have sex with. About where to spend your money and where not to spend your money. Amen. It's his armament that we're putting on. That's why you're able to do. Listen, you against Satan, you're going to get your butt whooped every time. That's why you got to put his armor of God. But if you put his armor of God, you're going to be able to withstand. You're going to be able to stand. You're going to be there, and he's going to, you know, huff and puff, right? But he ain't going to blow your house down, right? Right? Whose hope is it? It's God's hope. Whose faith is it? Whose faith is it? See, this is where we don't understand this. We think faith is our faith. It's not our faith. It's his faith. Can I show it to you? Can I show it to you? How many here to learn? How many know everything already? You can't teach me nothing. I know. I know faith. If anything I know, I know faith. Anything I know faith. All right, let me just calm down and humble out, okay? Can I show you something? Look, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Somebody say, it's his faith. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 3. Tamara, do you have my watch? Thank you. For this I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. Look at your neighbor and say, everyone includes you. See, this is everyone. Everyone! It's for all of us! Okay? Everyone who is among you, do not think yourself more highly than you are, let me read it this way. Think more highly than you ought to think. Now, that doesn't mean that I taught you last week or the week before, you know what, you need to have a good attitude about yourself, recognizing that you're saints. God loves you. You are the reason why Christ went to the cross. So you are, you know, somebody says, oh, you're not all that. No, you are all that in a bag of chips. Amen? But with that confidence, remember we saw it, don't throw away the confidence, but with that confidence, you've got to have a good bit of humility. It's the humble person that goes outside and says, oh, I don't have the armor of God on. And they run back outside and they get the armor of God. Do you understand that? Don't think more highly of than yourself than you ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, this is talking to Christian people, but to Christian people, he has given each one of us a measure of faith. And speaking about the King James Version, great version, in the King James Version, it says, I think it's a translated more accurate, it says, it's just clearer to understand in this verse, it says, God has given each one the measure of faith or the measure of faith. So how many born again? Raise your hand if you're born again. Okay, so you got a measure. Raise your hand if you're born again. Are you born again? You got a measure. Are you born again? You got a measure. Are you born again? You got a measure. Who gave it to you? God gave you the measure of faith. If God gives you a measure of faith, whose faith do you have? You have God's faith. Somebody say, I got God's faith. Come on, say it with some boldness. I have God's faith. Are you a Christian? No, you got God's faith. Has God ever told you to do something that's difficult? And there's a part of you is like, I am not doing that. Right? But when he tells you to do something difficult, have you ever felt like God is saying, you feel that there's no way I can't do that. Like tithing, there's no way I can tithe. Like homeschooling your kids, there's no way I can do that. Okay. And there's a big part of you that's saying, no way. But there's something that's saying, you can do it. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. That is the measure of faith. God put that in you. And there's this part of you that you're just like, how many know what I'm talking about? That's the measure of faith. That's God's faith he put in you. Are you learning something? Okay. Go deeper. Oh, listen to the man. I think I will go deeper. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for your permission, brother. Turn to Luke chapter 17. We have it up here on the screen, verses 3 and 4. Now, notice this. This is so good. Actually, let's skip to, I'll set you up. Don't get it off the screen for now. Do you remember in the Bible when the apostles are asking for God to increase their faith? Do you remember that part? Okay. It's okay if you don't know. Guess what's right before that? Does anybody know what's right before that? Okay, I'm going to show you what's right before it. Now you can show them. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 3 and 4. Take heed to yourself. You know what that means? You know what that means? Pay attention to how you're acting. How many sometimes we just have way too much self-righteousness? And that's what he's saying. When he says, take heed to yourself, he's saying, hey, you ever been outside working real hard? And you don't know how bad you smell? Come on. Hello. And then somebody close to you will tell you, man, you need to take a bath, dude. Right? Okay. That's kind of what God is saying here. When he says, take heed to yourself. What he's saying is, you need to pay attention to how bad you stink. That's what he's saying. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he repents, what? Praise the Lord. How many do that? Raise your hand if you do that. Okay, thank you, Jesus. But watch this. And if he seeks against, if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Now, how many are able to do verse 3? How many are able to do verse 4? 7 times? 7 times? In the same day? Amen? Some of you have a hard time forgiving somebody 7 times in a year. Right? In a day. And he goes, oh man, I blew it. I blew it. I blew it. I'm sorry. And then turns around, the same thing, does the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I mean, I keep on coming over here, and every time I come over, boom, I step on, you know, Edgar's toe. You know what I mean? Dude, what, you know what I mean? Oh, that's cool. You know, oh, okay. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Then I come over, step on his toe again. It's like, ah, you know what? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Edgar. Boom, again. I'm sorry. Yeah, at what point in time does Edgar go, dude, I didn't move my foot. You recognize? Come on, get it together. But the Bible says, Jesus says, do it, forgive 7 times. It's in that context that the apostles respond and they say, God, increase our faith. That's the context. Now, look how Jesus responds. Look at verse 4. Or look at verse 5. And the apostle said to him, increase our faith. This is a dialogue. This is a response. You know, you want to study the Bible. You know what will help you more than anything? Well, more. Yeah, I'll tell you. Actually, I would say more than anything else. The main thing that will help you in studying the Bible is to read the Bible every day. That is the main thing. It'll just help you. Okay, and read it together with your pastor at 10 o'clock. Okay, if you can't make 10 o'clock, then just, you know what, when you get home, it's because it's recorded. But the second thing that will really help you is start connecting the verses, because like this, it was said in a conversation in response to what the apostles asked, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now look at verse 6. This is in response of that. What is this in response of? Jesus saying, 7 times, man. They're like, he gets. Increase our faith. That's going to be hard. Verse 6, guys in the back. So they say, you know what? Increase our faith. John responds, so the Lord said. You know what so the Lord said means? It's in response to increase our faith. Are you learning something? So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Okay. That's what the Lord said to them. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that part of you that when God is asking you to do something hard, that part of you, and this part of you says, no way, I ain't doing it. That wasn't God. It was God, but you're just coming up with an excuse. But the other part that says, you can do this, that part, if all you have is, whose faith do you have? God's faith. And then Jesus says, in this response to increase our faith, he's saying, guys, you know what he's really saying? I don't need to increase your faith. You just need to pick up what I've given you and apply it to your life. That's all you have to do. The Lord said to him, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree. Now, I don't have time to preach this, but I can't skip over this that at least I don't point it out to you. You know where your faith can be, you know where you can see people's faith all the time? In what they say. I never lose weight. I can't lose weight. I have one chip. Boom, boom, boom. Goes right here on my thighs. One chip. I can't ever lose weight. Okay, Jackson, you know what? That's where you're at. Right? I'm bad with names. You know, Christian number one, I'm bad with names. Christian number two, you think you're bad with names, man? I don't even know your name. What are you doing? You are talking death and cursing your life. Hang around me. You won't hear me talk that way. Why? I can't afford to. It costs me too much. I need to take what I sense God is saying to me. How many ever heard me say, the days in front of us are going to be better than the days behind us? How many heard me say that? How many heard me say, hundreds and thousands are coming? How many heard me say that? How many heard me say, there'll be a day that you walk out and you're going to walk out and you're not going to go to see some grass, but you ain't going to see as much grass. You're going to see a 3,000 foot, a square foot patio area. How many heard me say that? See, I'm not going to cater to what Satan says. There's two reports. Start to recognize where these... We're wrestling not with flesh and blood. There's stuff going on. There's spiritual stuff going on. You need to bless your family. You need to bless your spouse. You need to bless your business. Bless your business. Bless, you know, use your words. You got the faith, guys. That's what he's saying. I gave it to you. But here's what you need to do. You need to put that faith in action. Do you see this? If you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree. Why are you going to say this to the mulberry tree? Why? Because you're going to believe that it's going to happen. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is just trusting what God told you is going to happen is going to happen. That's all it is. And real trust, I'm going to get to this in a minute, but I'll tell you in advance. Real trust is seen in action. Real trust is seen in action. I just want you to get this. It's your faith. It's not your faith. It's his faith. And you have to recognize. Stop thinking you need, oh God, increase my faith. He's already given you a measure of faith. It's already given. Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 1 says, you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. Peter's not wrong. He's right. You have been given the full armor of God. All you have to do is start taking the shield and put it up. That shield, the Bible says, is able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Somebody say all the fiery darts of the devil. All of them. Faith is believing. Real faith does something. Real faith does something. Smith Wigglesworth used to stand up and he'd walk back and forth on the stage and he'd say this, faith does something. 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 See, what does the Bible say in James? See, we think, we confuse belief and faith. Belief is important, but real belief, real trust in God is the kind of belief that is shown by what you do. Shake your head like this if that makes sense. We're going to fly through these scriptures, but pay attention. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. When he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. Then later on, he says, take up your bed and walk. Somebody say, when he saw their faith. See, faith, real trust in God is going to be played out in actions. You know, the Bible says, when it talks about the shield of faith, it says taking or lifting up the shield of faith. Whose faith is it? Who lifts up the shield of faith? You do. See, taking the shield of faith. It's his shield, but you're the one who lifted up. You're the one who trusts in God. Somebody said this, everything that you need God to do for you, he's already done for you. Amen. Jesus said on the cross, he said, it's finished. What's he doing now? What's Jesus doing now? What's he doing? That's right. Do you know what he's doing? He's praying, he's interceding for you. What? That you would put on the full armor of God, especially the shield of faith by which you can quench all the fiery darts of the demon. So these guys, watch this. Somebody say, you can see faith. These guys go with their, what's the story? These guys are going with their friend who can't walk. They go to the house, watch this, and they can't get in the house. So what do they say? What do they do? Do they go home? No, they figure out a way that they're going to lower this guy down in front of Jesus. When Jesus sees this guy lowered, he's like, oh, what does he do? Oh my goodness, I can see your faith. You guys really believe that I can heal him. Is that not right? Because faith, when you really trust in God, your actions are going to show it. I'm going to be able to see it. Other people are going to be able to see it. And you're going to be able to encourage other people. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night to observe that you might, what? Observe to do. Somebody say, observe to do. See, you're not just reading the Bible, reading the Bible, reading the Bible, reading the Bible. Oh, I know. You ever know people like this? I've dealt with homeless people, talked to homeless people, and it amazes me the amount of the knowledge that some of them have in the Word. Well, why are they so non-victorious in their life? Here's why. It doesn't have to do with knowledge. It has to do with application. They haven't applied. They know it here, but there's not application to that. You ever know somebody like that? And maybe they're not homeless. Maybe they have a nice home or both, and they have all kinds of knowledge, but their whole life is just askew. What's going on? Not application. Judges chapter 7, verse 4. But the Lord said, to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. It will be there that of whom I say to you, what one shall, this one shall go with you. What's he saying? There's too many. They're already outnumbered. Why is he whittling it down? Here's why. Because he wants to get these people dependent upon him. Are you in a tough situation? Good. You're in a good situation. Right? Paul says, I glory in my infirmities. Why? Because he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, what is he, weak or strong? No. You know what? You ever hear this? When the going gets tough, the tough get going? My dad used to always tell me that. There's sometimes, and we should trust God all the time, but there's sometimes that it seems like our trust in God really starts to manifest when we recognize you need help. And somebody says, oh, let's pray for that. And then the next person says, oh, has it come to that? Well, sometimes that's the only time that we'll pray, when we really recognize, when we've tried to figure out all the ways by ourselves that we can do it. And God says, Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? God is on our side. And all he wants us to do is take up that shield of faith. Take up his shield. Rely on him. What was Eve's sin? Do you know what Eve's sin was? Eve's sin was, at some point, she stopped holding the shield of faith. Do you know that? That's what she did. Satan came and said to Eve, did God say this? Here's what God said. No. What's really going on is, he knows if you eat this fruit, that you're gonna have great. He's keeping something from you. You know what Eve did? Eve didn't trust in God. And when, watch this, when she lowers the shield, here, let me illustrate. This is my illustration for the shield of faith. Tamara, can you take this this water bottle here? And, oh, good thing I had this shield on. Up. Okay. Tamara, go ahead and squirt me. Okay. Yeah, she's. Okay, yeah. You're not helping. Be a helpmate. Okay. But you get my point. See, if I don't lower this, you know what? It doesn't. What? Can you get it? Can you get one of those other ones out, Tamara? Can you get one of these? Pick this one up. Well, Ed knows how to do that. Yeah. You're wetting other people, but you ain't wetting me. Why? Because I have the shield up. Do you understand? Okay, you can stop now, okay? But my point is, it wouldn't make any difference which one of these he got out. If I keep the shield up, I can't, it quenches all, watch this. The shield is me trusting in God. If you will keep your trust in God, see what happens. Why did she lower, why did she, watch, when she gives up her trust in God, now she exposes herself to the wilds of the enemy, to the flames of the enemy, to the lies of the enemy. Here's what happens. When you let go of the armor of God, see, it's his armor, but you're the one who he's told to take it up. You got this. But if you let it go, if you allow, for a couple reasons I'll go over, two main reasons, but I'll go over it in a minute. But when you lower that, now you're susceptible. Do you know somebody who used to serve God and now they're not serving God? At some point in time, how many know somebody who thinks like God did them wrong? Raise your hand. Let me see. God did them wrong. Okay. What happened? Here's what happened. They allowed, I guarantee you, when they get to heaven, if they get to heaven, I said if they get to heaven, how many know not everybody's going to heaven? How many know everybody's not going to heaven? If they get to heaven, then they are going to find out God was not against them. God didn't do anybody wrong. All God has ever done is do right by us. We are the ones who have done God wrong. Amen. But when she allowed, you know what, and watch this. I can hold this all day long. Satan can't take this from me, but I can lay it down. So, why would I lay this down? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but let me give you two predominant reasons, because I think these two will cover almost everybody's life, or most of it. Two main reasons. One, because we walk by sight and not by faith. So something that we see, some report that the doctor gave to us, some thing that we were believing for and it doesn't look like it's changed, and we're trusting God, but it's not changing, and what is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of something what? Not seen. It took them a while, but at some point in time, Abraham and Sarah considered what God said to be more real than their deadness, the fact that they were as old as they were. They didn't lower the shield of faith, and they're trusting God. Listen, it's through faith and patience that all the people in the Old Testament, does somebody know any scriptures, any stories in the Old Testament? All those things that happened to those people. You know, the Bible in the New Testament says, here's why it happened. Through faith and patience. That's why it was accomplished. So if you will not let go, guess what? But why do most people let go? Because they don't see it. And so they go, oh, well, which is crazy, because watch this. You're not seeing it. Oh, I'm going to walk by sight and not by faith. I'm going to lower this. Now what have I done? Right? Now what have I done? I've just opened myself up. What do you think is gonna, like I heard one evangelist say, he said, he was talking about faith. He said, what else are we gonna do? Why in the world would you stop trusting in God? I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm trying to be direct. You talk about a dumb thing to do. That is so dumb. Because now I'm open to what? All these. Why do the fiery darts feel wet? Right? I'm open. And what did I do? I'm the one who let it down. God's given me this. All I have to do is take this. Listen, this works all day long, all night long, all the time. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all those fiery darts. Don't stop trusting God. Yeah, but I'm 38 years old and I'm, you know, running out of time, Pastor. Okay, go ahead. You know what? Let it down. Go to the honky tonk. Go to the disco. You know what I mean? Play that funky music, white boy. What do you think's gonna happen? You know what? Yeah, you're gonna get wet. Exactly what's gonna happen. It's exactly what's gonna happen. You know what? And you're going, and you know what? And Don Juan is gonna go, hey baby, man, you looking fine. Don Juan don't even have a job, Jackson. Kidding me? Are you kidding me? Yeah, but I'm 28. See, you got your eyes off trusting God. Listen, singles, you'd be better waiting if it takes another 20 years. Wait for the right one. Put your trust in God. Amen. Peter, can I go a little deeper? More deep, huh, Peter? I'm just going there. With our finances. With our finances. I'm telling you. You know what? Oh, Pastor, I did that tithe. I tithe for a whole 3 weeks, man. It didn't work. Pastor, it didn't work. Tell me you're not doing your job. Pastor, wait. It didn't work. You're walking by sight. And the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Number one. Number two is, and it's kind of the same, but it's a little different, but you need to know this, it's that time issue.
Man, I've been holding this up a whole 4 weeks.
Well, in that 4 weeks, you don't even know a bunch of the fiery darts that he's shooting at you. Do you understand this? You don't even know it. You're just like, why? Because you have the shield up. God can do some things. God is doing some things right now in your lives. Now I'm speaking prophetically. God is doing some things in your life right now that you won't see the manifestation for months, and some of you even years to come. So what? Who wants to live? You know what kind of life I want to live? I want to live a life where I trust God. Who wants to lower the shield? All the shield is trusting in God. Man. Trusting, you talk about, I wish I could, you know what, play singing in the, you watch it. I wish I could play singing in the rain. You know what I mean? Man, what a great, I should have had it ready. What a great picture of the shield of faith. Guys, who cares? You know what I mean? You think Satan ain't gonna throw some bombs at you? Some fiery darts? If you have the shield, it don't make no difference. It's only when you stop trusting God that you're gonna open yourself up to get taken out. Does that make sense? Okay. Couple more things and then we're done. Try it again. Couple more things and then we're done. Think of this. Noah. Over 100 years between the promise of the rain coming, the flood coming, or the warning, and it coming. You know why the ark got completed? Because he never let go of his shield of faith. Every single day. Can you imagine? You've been out and seen the replication. That was replication and replication. That was two words together. What two words was it? Replication and reproduction. Okay. Turn to Psalms. Turn to Psalms. You know what Psalms are? Psalms and chapter in one word, okay? I said that the other day. Okay. Is that thing amazing? Is that thing huge? But it's big, is it not? It's huge. Okay. How long do you think it took him with no Home Depot, no Lowe's, no power tools? How long do you think it took him to do that? And at what point in time does he say, oh my goodness? Listen, the day that he lets go is the day that he doesn't have protection for his family. And the day that you let go is the day that you don't have protection for your family. That's the day. Listen, I ain't going to let go of my shield because I can't afford to let go of my shield. This is trusting God, and every day I need to trust God. The reason why we are outside in this sanctuary, in this patio, is because we trusted God. Amen? Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield and my horn, my salvation and my stronghold. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Let me try that again. Now thanks be to our God who always leads us to triumph. Watch this. See, that's trusting God. He's always going to lead us to triumph. Always. And through his diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. Oh, and through us. Through us. When we put our trust in God, watch this. There's this, as I'm holding the shield of faith. Remember I talked about you're outside all day, you stink. How many know when you have the shield of faith, it's just the opposite? You get around people, they're like, man, what smells so good? There's this diffusing of his aroma around people around you. How many know we live in difficult times right now? And when you hold this shield of faith, when you put your trust in God, all these other people start... You ever been to the mall? All of a sudden you're like 5 minutes later you're in front of Cinnabon, right? I don't know why. I just wanted a Cinnabon today. No, I know why, because you smelled it. That's what you're going to do to other people if you keep up your shield. They're going to understand. They're going to sense. What are these people? They trust in God, man. They're so chill. They're so relaxed. They're so confident. Aren't they all freaky? You know what I mean? Like, why aren't they freaky? because we have our trust is in God. Right? Remember when the 10, was it 10? Was it 11? I forget. Remember when Jesus healed the lepers? Oh, I think it was 10. Was it 10, George? Pastor George? When the 10. You know what the Bible says? They're far off. They're like, oh, hey, heal us, Jesus. He goes over and says they're healed. And then he says this, go and show yourself to the priest. When people had leprosy, they had to go to the priest. It's so contagious. They had to the priest was like a letter of allowing them back in. Does that make sense? He says, go to the priest. And the Bible says this. So you need to understand, faith isn't something that, you know, it's like there's so many people's like, oh, Pastor, when I believe it, then I'll start doing it. You ain't going to do it. That's not what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of something not seen. What did they do? They went to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they received their healing. Some of you just need to start to do something. You sense that God is telling you something, you need to act on it. And as you go, there'll be restoration in your home, restoration in your life, restoration in your finances, restoration in your body, restoration in your life, restoration in hope. The people that were responsible, and I understand it's God. He's the one who gets all the credit. But God told his people to go out and march around Jericho. On the first day, did the walls go down? The second day, did the walls go down? The third day, did the walls go down? The fourth day, see, here's what I'm saying. It's through faith and patience. You're trusting God, and you're trusting God, and nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. That I can see, but I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. Something is happening. Something is happening. I just can't see it. And it doesn't make any difference. I can't see it. I'm going to still be obedient to what God asked me to do. And eventually, guess what? I am going to see it. Eventually, exactly everything that God said is going to happen. Everything God said is going to happen. Everything that God said. Everything that God said. Automatically? No, not automatically. The Israelites never walked, never the original, the first generation of Israelites, after Moses delivered them, they never walked in the promised land. Has nothing to do with God. You know what it had to do with? They walked by sight and not by faith. They saw the enemies and they said, we can't. Ultimately, you got to figure out, you're going to put your trust in God. You're going to put your trust in what you see. Nope. Things are changing. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season, you will reap if you faint not. That's what the Bible says. Somebody learned something today. Somebody learned something today. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love, your tenderness to us. If you learned something, you need to repent in some way, anyway, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Say, God, help me. Now, I don't know where you need to repent for. I assume that it's you haven't been believing God the way God has asked you to. But it could be some other areas too. And I don't know details. But God knows details. And God sees your hand. God sees your willingness to repent. The Bible says repent that times of refreshing might come. You know what repent means? It means do a 180 and turn and go the other way. All eyes up here. Look at me now. Put your hands down. Look at me. if your hand was up, if you allowed me to pray with you, do the 180. Change your mind. Decide that you're going to put your trust in God. For others of you, you're not in the kingdom of God yet. I want to say this to you. You heard the message. God is speaking to your hearts. I want to be your pastor. You ask God into your heart. You ask God in your heart. And then start making Hope your home church. I want to be your pastor. Allow me to teach you line upon line, precept upon precept. And in a short period of time, your life will be changed. Not by me, but by your willingness to be taught the word of God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Will you believe with me that hundreds and thousands are coming? And some of those hundreds and thousands are going to be people who already know Christ. But a lot of them are going to be people that they never knew Christ. Amen. The elders are up here today at the end of service. When we dismiss, and we'll dismiss in just a couple moments, you might feel like, Pastor, I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to be there. I need prayer. They're up here for you. They're not going to pray their will. They're going to pray the word of God. The Bible says, if we pray the word of God, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we can have the petitions of our heart. That's what the Bible says. So, you know what? Lunch will wait. But you've come. You know what? Just if you need to be prayed for, be prayed for. Tamara, anything else we need to share today? Man, these people look beautiful today, do they not? You guys are beautiful. Did anybody tell you that they loved you this week? I love you. Tamron loves you. You know, the staff love you. Okay. God loves you. Man, Peter, you're rocking it today, man. He pays attention. All right. Let me remind you before we dismiss. Actually, I just want to say a prayer over you. Father, I bless these people. They have put you first place in their life today, the first day. I pray that their whole week would go smooth. May they hold up the shield of faith. May we know that we can put our trust in you, for you cannot lie. And you love us more than anybody loved us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.